Welcome to the Rappers Over 30 podcast, hosted by yours truly, Imp the Great. This is podcast episode number 19. There is always space for improvement, no matter how long you've been in the business. Oscar De La Hoya. What up, hip hop? This is Imp, and I'm doing my part to stop prison for profit. I want you to put a verse on this song if you're feeling it. Post it back on the internet for the next MC to do the same. I grew up a fucking skew up. Niggas was on the block. They threw up hoods from block to block. But I would never gang bang. We all in the same game. My mentality before that song was something got to change. Now you up, son, you grew up quick. You blew up like that crack I fixed. No B12, just eat well. That home cook, no retail. Mickey D's in here, your mom and pops on cooking detail. No crew, but you got family, man. A crew cut, not a Stanley, man. I taught you how to throw them things. And if you ever throw them things, watch your back, cause cowards clap, applaud, and death, they'll blow them things. A few us made it out the hood. Cops knew us, said we was no good. They framed and blamed the children for cracking, crime, and killing. I got the proof, I slept on roof and jails filled to the ceiling. A new truck, that's what you were worth. A few bucks, evil walks this earth. DAs, cops, and judges put money over justice. Super criminals that sentence you and I. In this fucked up world, I'm fighting for change. I'm writing for those that's locked in chains. My typing exposed, the world's biggest game. The prison is packed, a big money thing. In this fucked up world, I'm fighting for change. I'm writing for those that's locked in chains. My typing exposed, the world's biggest game. The prison is packed, a big money thing.
I wasn't allowed to screw up or hang out on the block. I wasn't allowed to do nothing. I ain't even have a pops. My mom and them men, they kept your nigga on lock. Going to church instead of a state facility cell block. And now I got a seat of my own. Trying to figure out how to keep him from doing wrong. I barely escaped the route of not making prison a place for family reunions and get-togethers. A place to plan our next endeavor and living through letters. The economy's great if you're heavy invested in lessening the population and anti-education, man. You live in large, you ain't got a charge. You got the cash and bet it all on a nigga's black ass. He coming through them revolving doors and bars that stay clinking, locking down every time there's a problem between the black and brown. Ask my nigga DVSD, only cause they recently changed the law. My nigga
in this fucked up world, I'm fighting for change. I'm writing for those that's locked in chains. My typing exposed, the world's biggest game. The prison is packed, a big money thing. In this fucked up world, I'm fighting for change. I'm writing for those that's locked in chains. My typing exposed, the world's biggest game. The prison is packed, a big money thing. My typing exposed, the world's biggest gang. The prison is packed, a big money thing. In this fucked up world.
You are now listening to the Rappers Over 30 podcast. We support, motivate, and encourage Rappers Over 30 to stay healthy, relevant, and successful.
Podcasting from a home studio somewhere in Los Angeles County, this is the Rappers Over 30 podcast. And here's your host, Imp the Great.
Welcome to the Rappers Over 30 podcast, episode number 19. I'm your motivational host, Imp the Great, but you can call me Imp. Give it up. Let's make some noise, y'all. Yeah. Happy Thursday. Yeah. Give it up then. Yeah. Check it out. The song you just heard is called Fighting for Change. It's a track off my 2013 album, Old Dog New Tricks. It's featuring yours truly, Imp the Great, and Nigga Fish from Chillin' Villain Empire. A quick story about that song is it was supposed to feature one of my Latin brothers from OMD. I never got that verse, dog. When I wrote the song, I thought it would be dope if one of those guys could have brought the song home on the last verse. That's why it's open. With that said, if any of my Latin brothers or Latin sisters would like to put a verse on it, get at me and let me hear what you got. Now, speaking of old dogs, new tricks, how many of you old dogs are willing to learn some new tricks? I'm saying that because yesterday, a man with over 30 years of experience in the filmmaking business, whom I've partnered up with to get some films done this year, he showed up to work but was basically standing around with his hands in his pockets. When I called him out on this, he got upset and walked off the set. This cost me time. This cost me money. His significant other informed me. He was upset because I didn't want to shoot my film using three of his old cameras simultaneously. Now, mind you, prior to this incident, we had several discussions, meetings, and I even did a bit of fact-checking on what he told me these cameras could and couldn't do. I concluded they weren't up to par to give me what I wanted visually. Now, I've read and I've heard about younger directors having to deal with old dogs who feel they know everything and they're stuck in their ways. Don't be that old dog. Now, let's get into some more music. This is Low End by Council of Nine.
Yo, year's 4020 on the planet. The corruption of math and compositions has created conflict with civilizations in the universe. A million devils with the bubonic curse. So I devise a bird to disperse from out the hollow earth and attack the whack with various sounds of mortal combat. And ill tracks and opportune a military tactic contain. That's what I chose to travel in the Odyssey and be one with star patterns and lather in the gray matter. So we lifted off the first galaxy that was explored. Was the wackest known when it appeared through the gravitational space lens. Called the MAC SO647, 13.3 billion light years from heaven. The first planet was automatic, the wackest start to panic. I pulled the SP-505 and started blasting sporadic. The beings on this planet, they listen to pop music with the face of a bass drum and fingers of a piano. So the Ninth Council invaded the underground with the raw sound. Yo, and many were killed upon listening. The ones that survived were all in pain grimacing. So we took them hostage and studied body parts that were electronic. They were sonically advanced and subliminally dichotic. We hooked them up to the spacecraft and computers. They carried on to the distant galaxies and erased the hard drives so there's no more whack shit in the future.
Ready, set, jet, propulsion the most. My main targets are those with the sporadic optic pulse. Master parasite and all your deaf dumb kids are playing host. Pollinate your ingrates with a taste for doping. Let's just hope there's just one worthy to go toe-to-toe. Otherwise, this colony is mine. Planting empty fetuses inside your mind. Literally, we open up the craniums and insert my thoughts verbatim. Let me hear you recite them and be excited that you've been invited into this house of pain and anguish, rappers spitting in dead languages. Let's just hope your measly vessel can manage the unheard decibel. Don't be afraid when your scope begins to implode.
Microphone check. Check 1 2. Check 1 2. Check 1 1 1 2.
When I'm inducing your usage, less than zero, equivalent to ambivalence. And this is how it goes down. I wanted to go on record that Moss remains pro-ground, the most profound with that gold sound. Like rhymes chanted on picket lines, protest and suggest that the wicked should confess. Your historical reference never goes further than your mention. And I know you had good intent, but you should step out and invent authority to push back on authority. Constantly sorting a poor scene. I view on TV, shifting my energy. Polish shift, chakra, chakra. And I haven't even eaten breakfast. Inspired, then maybe those. goals would aspire. When I retire, you're nothing but a hyper bully. Holler hyperboles in the back of your mind. You're thinking organized crime, organized rhyme. By time to introduce and produce fresh produce, more than see the light, feel the heat. And every MC was in sync with what I think. There would be perfect messaging, burning all you whack effigy. Stop living a lie, stop living alive. 40 to push back on authority, constantly sorting a pouring scene. I view on TV, shifting my energy, full of shit, chakra shocker. And I haven't even eaten breakfast. Imagine the influence on the innocent. We can see his reaction, our words are insolent. Fuck that, I want to break the role of my town's local act. It's the point they label me a musical aristocrat. They're saying this and that, he's spitting spat, spick and span. And I'm a cultivation of what influences the patrons. Come on, come on, and what you see is racist. Forsaken spacious to my complacence. Zero patient, patient zero. Halt your heresy as you claim to be a heretic. For the abetterment of our sentiment, we need to sever all who depend on sheets of destructive beliefs. Thought police got me thinking I'm in eternal sleep. Every person's splinter cell, hip-hop hegemony. Success doesn't equate to longevity. Sincerely serving knowledge till the death of me. My anecdotes are anecdote and I'm telling folks, but there isn't much who are receptive to my pushback on authority. Constantly sorting up pouring scenes. I view on TV, shifting my energy. Pull a shift, chakra shocker. And I haven't even eaten breakfast. Authority to push back on authority. Constantly sorting up pouring scenes. I view on TV, shifting my energy. Pull a shift, chakra shocker. And I haven't even eaten breakfast.
Yes, y'all, that was Hip Hop Hegemony by Mos One, preceded by Low End by Council of Nine off the Council of Nine album. That self-entitled album is available on CD and a limited 100 green and 100 yellow cassette tapes. That's right, I said 100 green and 100 yellow cassette tapes. For you new jacks, look it up. Stick around and find out how you could purchase that unique album release, and that information will also be in the show notes. Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, you can follow me on Instagram at Rappers Over 30. Spell the word 30 out. We're about to get to our interview momentarily, but first, let's check out one more song. This is Remove the Battery.
Make believe, four leaf clover. Go ahead and project the ego over some ordinary people. Your voyeurism has you locked in prison, peeping out your people. It isn't flattery, remove the battery.
Bacteria gathering, negligence is hazardous.
Mastering the art of parasitic pandering.
I can't allow this to happen, time to take action.
Lights, camera, wax shit. With pathetic antics,
tragic circus exits, all a distraction. No actual talent, unbalanced, absent mind mechanics, lack of dynamics, oblivious to the mathematics. It's obvious you're at a disadvantage.
Boasting about your accolades, but anyone can pay to play.
Decay these cliches, poison the well of your dreamscape.
Deflate my state, pseudo synthetic, irrelevant.
Forget
rhetoric.
The repetitive false expression, misdirected.
Once lost and always gone, absent. Induced rapping, what happened? This lack of attacking, the status quo starting to grow. Quite a pro, professional. Step into my confessional, panting neck, sewing up them flapping lips. Only influence I'm under is the soil above. Remain under the crust, rooted. Why you get booted so quick? It's an improvement.
Confused students too stupid to study the blueprint. Improving, foolish nuisance. Save your two cents.
Matter of fact, spit some facts. You're lacking in the attack of the true act
of rapping.
Garden the inducement, ruin the evolution of a movement. Polluted elements, subjected arrogance, pestilence. Hide the elephant with all of your skeletons. Seems far-fetched, concepts out of context. Complex logic, robotic, frolic, abstracted optics. Something's missing here. Honestly, wannabes come in quantity minus the quality. Vomiting constantly, odd oddities.
Slaughtering lambs, addicted to severing hands not existent. Mic control foretold as folklore. Thinking as a warning, some underground disasters. Bastards, your reason these backwards obey your master's cry for answers.
Assemble a puppet to function as a distraction. Imagine that, smoking your pipe dreams, entering a state of hypnosis. This isn't reality, vanity. Fallacy.
Deceptive bohemian rhapsodies, fake as boy band dance steps, your hat shit, as phony as politicians' handshake. Your fragile landscape gets polarized by monstrous MC like weight.
Overabundance of redundant substance, submit your sustenance, disgusting utterance, a bunch of other shit. These motherfuckers mutter that don't make sense, trying to advance by skipping steps. This isn't right, what's left?
Left, right, left. Steady march of the rap lemmings.
Don't pretend the story's never ending.
Impending doom to those who do not defend.
I've lost all tolerance, demolishing trends.
Final thoughts, generations lost. The music is tainted, expression has become the means to please one's needs, to be part of a herd. You'll never be heard, just wanna be seen in this obscene scene.
Open up your third eye so you can finally see. Break free from that false reality. Apathetic rap schemes, quit lollygagging and practice what you preach. Otherwise, don't even speak.
What passes for rapping is manufactured acting. The limelight is too bright, you do not advance.
What passes for rapping is manufactured acting. The limelight is too bright, you do not advance.
Yeah, rappersover30.com. I want to thank all the people that tune in every Thursday. I want to thank all the people that share the podcast. All the MCs, all the rappers who came on the show and was interviewed. But right now, I want to introduce today's guest on the Rappers Over 30 podcast. He is Maz One. He's been in the rap game for over 10 years. He's part of the groups Rhyme Apes, Council of Nine, and Echoes of Auditory Crew. He was influenced by deep house music and artists like N.W.A., Too Short, Rappin' Forte, Mr. Chris Parker, KRS-One himself, and the underground artists like Hieroglyphics, Shapeshifters, and of Mexican descent. Without any further ado, Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, please put your hands together and enjoy my conversation with Maz One. Once again, y'all, we got it on and popping. I got Maz One in the building. You know, my man hit me up on the Instagram, and we're going to find out a little bit about Maz One, what he got going on. So, Maz One, introduce yourself and tell the people a little bit about yourself, brother.
Yeah, man, thank you for having me. Much humble. Big ups to Rappers Over 30. I'm a young buck, 34, but I mean, I made the cut. Maz One, I'm from the Echoes of Oratory crew. You know, like what you got going on here, you know, shedding light on some OGs, just, you know, folks who are still cranking out work and some folks who have, you know, legacies. So I definitely had to hit you up. And, you know, thanks for letting me jump on. You know, for those of you out there never heard of my music, check it out. You know, we'll probably hear some tonight. But yeah, I've been doing hip hop now for about 14, 15 years, obviously a long time listener and appreciation, you know, appreciation of this culture, but contributing about 15, 14 years now.
Okay. Well, let's, you know, the people going to hear some of your music. Actually, by the time they get to this point of the interview, they've already heard your music. So let's just kind of run over all of these songs and you give me a little bit about them. So you got the hip hop hegemony.
Yeah, hip hop hegemony.
Hegemony, okay. You know, what's that about? Who produced it? Is it specific subject matter?
Word. So that project, it was fully produced by Frank John James, my good homie, producer, MC, and that came out of off my solo project, How, Maz One Out, and that track came together as kind of a kickoff. I was studying a lot after college, obviously, and just still kind of getting my bearings as far as like, you know, that critical spit, you know, really trying to get, you know, trying to get more, more critical with my writing. So that track there kind of, you know, kicks off that album, and still available for download. I still got physicals on deck too. I've repressed that out 4 or 5 times now. And I think it's a, you know, I think it's a solid piece of work as far as my solo.
And what album is that one on?
How.
How. Is that an acronym? Yeah.
No, it's How, like H-O-W with the question mark. And it's a lot of our music, a lot of underground LA shit, obviously. There's a lot of double entendres. So how is in how, like how did this happen? And then how, as in like the stereotype of what people think Native Americans, you know, would say, you know, how, you know, you see it portrayed in, on TV and popular, popular TV. And so, yeah, we made that with my crew. It's my solo project, but it's fully produced by Frank John James. And like I said, focus more on more critical spit and kind of have a lot of critical race theory in that, a lot of just critical, you know, feedback on the hip hop game at the time for what I was experiencing. And then, you know, just a chance to work with a lot of the homies. And, you know, it was kind of my turn to bat. You know, everyone had already dropped solo projects by then, my crew. So I was pushed to do it. And, you know, I was happy to kind of contribute, you know, a solo project.
Okay. We're going to get to the rest of the music, but you mentioned Native American. Are you Native American?
No, I'm Latino. I'm a Mexican descent, but I mean, obviously there's a lot of indigenous pride amongst, you know, Latino Americans and Chicanos. Just, you know, respect for indigenous culture, native culture. So that one was really just kind of, again, you know, finding my critical voice, my identity as a Chicano, you know, in my studies and also just growing up and living in LA for a handful of years. And then, you know, as far as that goes, I just got more and more introduced to Native culture and in LA around in my readings. So that's kind of how I got the inspiration for that. But my wife's indigenous, my kids are part indigenous, but myself, you know, I just got mad love for, you know, that Native culture as well. You gotta shed some light on that, because, you know, it's real influential in a lot of our art.
Yeah, that's dope. So let's talk about this other one. You got a song called Council of Nine, and that's featuring Mars One and Stranger Danger. What's that song all about?
Yeah, so that actually came off of this new project, and the project self-titled Council of Nine, fully produced by Stranger Danger. And actually, that song is just one song of a whole bunch of tracks that are all done by eight or nine MCs. And that one was kind of me and my homeboy just kind of knocking out a track. It's called Low End, actually. Low End, but it's off of Council of Nine. It's just me and the homie Stranger Danger, which I'll be, you know, making more music with. And he's just a beast on the production side and the MC side. So that one's called Low End. And a little background on that, you know, without being long-winded, the project, the whole concept is that we're nine deities, you know, nine kind of extraterrestrial deities just coming back to Earth and just kind of testing all the world's MCs and just coming in here and just looking at inferior life and being, you know, a little bit more braggadocious and kind of out there. It's real wicked, kind of just funky stuff. So, you know, those of you who want to find it, it's on Spotify. It's on Bandcamp. If you want a physical copy, we made CDs and tapes, and, you know, keep an eye out. We'll probably be dropping a video for one of the tracks off this project too.
And you got another one, Rhyme Apes, Future Primitive.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
So what's the deal with that one?
Sure. You know, we make a lot of music, my circle and I. Obviously, a lot of LA Underground and SoCal Underground, West Coast Underground, and just West Coast rap in general. There's a lot of circles, right? A lot of networks. You know, people make side projects with each other. You know, think of like, you know, the Hyro crew or like, you know, Living Legends crew. There's like, you know, 3Ms, 3MGs. There's, you know, there's, you know, you know, all these different incarnations of one crew already, right? You know, Grouch and Eli, you know. And so for us, this is Rhyme Apes. And it's just me and my compadre. Brainstorm is my good friend and longtime homie. So it's me and Brainstorm, and together we're Rhyme Apes. And so this track is Future Primitive. We dropped a video for this as well. Hopefully you'll see some links, and, you know, we'll try to tag as much on this episode. But yeah, check it out. Future Primitive is the name of the track, and the album is by Rhyme Apes.
Okay. All right. So let's go back. Let's go way back.
What got you into this music, man? How did this come about? You say you're 33, 34. So what got you into the game? What got you to say, you know what, I'm going to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some of your other episodes, and, you know, I really like when, you know, other artists and other folks who express themselves go back to the beginning, right? So, I mean, for me, I played music, a musical instrument very young. By fifth grade, I started playing alto sax, started playing saxophone, learning, a woodwind instrument, learning how to read music, learning kind of just music theory and being a band geek. So that really got me into it. Eventually became a drum major and loved performing, loved doing solos, loved learning, jazz music and like blues scales and blues music. And so that adrenaline rush kind of came from day one there. And then finally, when I picked up a mic and, you know, started expressing myself that way, then it was over. I kind of caught an addiction to that, and being in the studio and recording. You always got to be working on something new, I guess, and performing. Okay. You know, even though we haven't done it in a long time, as of COVID time, I mean, seeing stuff online, seeing people pop it off and still kind of expressing themselves, even if they're like talking to themselves in their own room. I mean, I respect that. I mean, you got to keep your chops, right? You got to keep your standards up. So,
with that alto sax, do you still play the live instruments, real instruments?
No, I passed it on to my niece, and I stopped playing alto by the age of 18, 19. I wanted to do performing arts in college, but I just knew it was so competitive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I ended up going to a university, luckily, you know, thank God. I never thought I would ever make it to like a 4-year. When I got there, I just knew, I was like, you know, I didn't have the background. Some of these kids had private tutors. They parents paying all buku bucks just to have them private tutor, just to like pretty much drill it to them for the day that they do go to college. And they have to, you know, they have to really kind of, step up their game and know music theory or learn how to play piano before they even get to musical school and music after high school, right? Mm-hmm. So I decided to put it down and gave it to my niece, and she ran with it as well. And, you know, she did it all through high school, and I'm glad, you know, I was able to bless her on the music tip and just have her, you know, love what I love and get that same spark.
So who are some of your influences? Like who are your, like your top MCs, or who influenced you to do this, and who you listen to nowadays?
Dang, I mean, influences, I mean, I guess from being from SoCal, I've lived off the 10 freeway my whole life, 909 and 626. And even now, you know, I live in the San Gabriel Rosemead area. I was always introduced to, you know, like gangster rap, what was on the radio, DJ music, mixtapes. So being a young age, I've been an older sister, hearing mixtapes and hearing DJ culture, you know, like even as far as like deep house and hearing like a lot of those instrumentation, just seeing people spin and chop, and like that kind of sparked me into like the elements of hip hop, I would say, you know. I've heard rap, I've heard, you know, beats and music through my life, but some of my earliest influence was just kind of what I was introduced to. I would say even just like old West Coast rap, really. Whether it be NWA or just, you know, hearing like some old Dre stuff, hearing old West Coast stuff, like Bay Area rap too short, Rap Forte, hearing those cats. I mean, those bass heavy and like just kind of that G funk, but also just that dirty that dirty street stuff. You know, even the sex raps was big too. So hearing that, what that wasn't on the radio, that was kind of my biggest influence back in the day. And then even now, it's obviously been many years. So after I kind of heard those first like stocks of influence from the West Coast, I just started just listening to a lot more underground rap, a lot more boom bap, MC driven lyrics, KRS-One, a lot of East Coast influence on that. You know, just even I alluded to it earlier, you know, some of the Hyro crew and hearing Dell through my teen years kind of really influenced my game. And then big shout out to the Shapeshifter crew. Being out from LA, I got to see like in a younger age, and Tumex and his partner Cholon Cinco were like a big influence, I feel like, on a lot of me and the homies who were brown. And I mean, it wasn't all racial, but it was dope to hear a Mexican freestyler and then making these these metaphors towards like Latino and Mexican culture in their spits, you know, in their raps. So I would say they're a big influence.
I know both of those guys. So if you had the, that might be the answer to this question. Sure. But have you, it's a two-part question. Have you made a song with any of the people who influence you? If not, if you could make a song, give me two people who you'd like to make a song with, two of your influences. If you haven't, if you have, tell me who you have done to with, have you done a song with? And if not, tell me who you'd like to make a song with. Give me two different
good
artists.
Good question.
Because yeah, they might hear this and give you a ring, you know?
True that, true that. I mean, I would always love to work with Tumex. And you know, no knocking the hustle. I think being a younger MC growing up, finally, you know, laying stuff in the studio, you start to realize you got to pay for people's services sometimes and for their greatness, right? So, you know, I never reached out to Tumex just because, you know, I guess I was just never throwing down and paying for verses, but I would have loved to work with him in the past in an organic way. And even now, and even, you know, I'd still support Homeboy if I had to, but I think Tumex is probably a big person I haven't made a track with, but someone I probably made a track with now that I have a lot of respect for, probably be, you know, the homie Roughneck Jihad, who, you know, he's part of my crew and you know, kind of being putting up on game on his crew and their music. That was one person I did make a track with that I was just like, damn, like big homie, let me jump on track with him. And it was all love. And, you know, we've made a couple tracks now. So, you know, I would say probably Tumex is one person I would still be down to do a track with and haven't done it. And then probably the homie Roughneck was probably one person I worked with that I was kind of like, damn, I didn't think, you know, this was going to go down and we did it. And, you know, even now, like we're good friends and it's an honor to work with Homeboy anytime I do.
Okay. Well, give me some, you know, I've you know, we pretty much recently meeting on Instagram for the most part. Yeah. So if I was to ask you, give me a great experience that you had at a show. What's one of your livest shows and what was so great about it and memorable about it, you know, before the COVID?
Yeah, one of our shows or just a show kind of experiencing and being at
A show with you performing at.
Okay. I would say probably the last big, you know, crew shows that we did. You know, it's been some time. We hadn't held one since they closed this club in Hacienda Heights. But damn, that's a good question. Probably Texas. I rolled down to Texas with my homie. We did some promo for this Rhyme Apes project, and it was just dope getting out of Cali and ripping with other cats that I had never, you know, I've never done shows with. So probably that was the last dope show. We did it in store at a record store, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking the name of the record store. Shout outs to them and the homie Brainstorm who put that together. D-verse was the one who put it together, and it was just dope vibes, man. Noah James was out there too from the IE, and he was promoting. He was out there. It was dope. You know, him and I are not too far from each other, you know, here in Cali. And then we're in Texas, San Antonio, doing a show together. And it was all love. You know, we had IE cats in there representing from Cali, and we had San Antonio cats there. And it was just real love seeing the cultures kind of, you know, kind of collide and doing freestyle sessions together. Just, you know, vibing out, you know, smoke a little herb, just chilling in a record store, you know, who else could ask for anything better?
Okay. Do you produce at all?
Do you produce beats? No, I wish, you know, I don't have the patience for it. And really just, I haven't been indoctrinated. Like I haven't been taught to make sure that it happens. And I think some people, you know, they definitely have mentors or someone like, hey, you're going to learn. We're going to teach you. I just haven't had, you know, someone kind of force my hand. But no, I don't make beats. I wish I would, though.
You know, I was asking, it's the interview that's going to come on this Thursday, and I'm not going to say who the guy is, but, okay. You know, I was asking him, it had made me think, part of when I jump on my podcast, I'd be like, oh, let me put a shirt on, right? Yeah. And I ain't got that many shirts. I mean, I do, but I just to, you know, but okay. I was thinking, I said, as an artist nowadays, can you have a favorite shirt? Can you have a favorite jacket? You know, because people try to hold an artist like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Oh, he had that shirt on before. He had that on this episode, you know?
True.
So
true.
I'm trying to bring some normality to the rappers over 30. Like, you know, like even a job. Yeah. I was stating on one of my other podcasts, the upcoming one, that I got a friend and man, he had got a shoreman. Do you know what those are? Them shoreman jobs? They make a ton of money.
Longshoreman. Hell
yeah. Yeah, he was making, I don't know, he's making $28, $29 an hour. Yeah, and I saw a post and somebody had said, oh, look at him, man. He used to be rapping with so-and-so. Now he out there working a job. I said, these people are crazy. So what do you think about, being normal, but at the same time, a dope MC, but that whole facade or persona, is that something that you agree with, you disagree with, but you understand it or what? How do you, what do you think about the perception of people who try to hold a rapper to, like I said, that standard of, you got to have something new on every, you never wore that before, or you can't show no signs of, I happen to have a job too, or they're going to feel like, you know, you done fell off or something.
Yeah, I mean, that there's some, you know, there's some layers to that, obviously, if someone's feeling like just because you're a rapper, you got to be, you know, you have to have it on all the time and you got to floss and wear your freshness on you. I mean, great. You want to look good and be that way. I mean, there's people who don't rap who look like that every day. It doesn't mean they're anyone special. So anyone can buy an image. Mm-hmm. But to see someone who you like, damn, that person stands out. You know, people need to, you know, style's a little different, right? Style's always, you can rock an old shirt, an old vintage shirt and still have style. So, I mean, if that's what you, what's important to you, then damn. But I know some MCs, you look at them, you never realize they're rippers. And then you hear them or they step up to the to the cypher and you're like, shit, homeboy just flamed everyone. And he looks like a bum. So I think it's a double standard. You know, you should be able to look however the hell you want. But as long as you're fresh and nice with it, then, you know, you can't hate.
I'm sitting here thinking. Maybe coming up in the game, you probably got to hold that standard. But once you're there, because I immediately start thinking about Old Dirty Bastard, you know, and even Redman to an extent. Remember Redman did the cribs, you know, did the cribs. Yeah. He was had the wires to test together to ring the bell to get in the house.
Yeah, he flips shit on people, man. Yeah, that's how you got to do it. You got to be the, how you say, you know, the less, you know, the least loudest in the room. It's always the quiet ones you got to be afraid of. But I mean, yeah, I think it's messed up, man. You shouldn't have to expect someone to be driving this like foreign car and like being chained up. I mean, it's dope. If you, that's your style, man, dope. That's your fresh death on that part. But if you don't come with it, then you just clown, right? I mean, you look super dope and you claim to be a rapper and you come out and you really just are trash. And you're like, man, this guy doesn't really, or this person could be a female too. You know, this person doesn't really have love for what they claim they do. You know, they're front.
Let me ask you this. So with your music, who have people said, Who have people said your music remind them of, or who have they said, oh, you remind me of so-and-so?
And this is always a kind of a trick question, right? But like, and I don't know, I've had good homies who just like my unorthodox style. Sometimes I'll style with it and be a little bit louder than most, or just kind of, you know, almost like jazz music, you know, just kind of go with it. And I think there's a lot of West Coast underground fools like that. But I've heard Idea, I've heard AC, but obviously AC is, you know, God bars. I wish I could, you know, write like the man. Grim Reap, this is what I think in my mind, you know, like I don't know. These are just people I know that homies that have had a high regard for, and they're like, yo, you know, like, you can be, you know, you can be a good MC, you can be this type of MC if you just work on it. So I don't know. Really, to be honest, that's the only name that I can think of. And those are three big ass names, and I'm not claiming to be anything like those, man.
This question is gonna test your ego. You ready for this one? This gonna test your ego. What's your strengths and what's your weaknesses when it comes to rhyming?
Damn. I think my strengths are.
Let me give you an example. I've always wrote, and over the years I had to learn certain things. People always, oh, he got lyrics, you know, but I couldn't ride the beat, right? And I didn't have a flow. So that's what I had to learn. My weaknesses was riding the beat and having a flow. Lyrically, the lyrics, the words and everything I was saying was always dope. So once again, I'm gonna ask you, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses in this rap game? As far as the rapping itself.
Yeah, I would say my strengths are probably the confidence and probably when I'm delivering, like, you know, I would say Sammy, but you also know I'm styling. So I would say the overall confidence of the deliverance, but probably a weakness. That's a good question. darn. I, You know, as a weakness, maybe like you're saying, for example, I just wrote to a fast track. It was probably like, you know, and what would normally be just like 16 bars, it was probably like 24 bars, and it was just super fast. You know, I don't even know how to put it, like, you know, like 2-4 time. You know, it wasn't just like 4 to the floor. It was like, you know, so to have a fast track, it was a little harder for me. Even though I had dope lyrics, yeah, to write a fast beat, I still got to work on that. I think I got bodied a little bit. Some, you know, the other cats on there, I'll be humble. You know, even if someone thinks maybe my verse was up there, I think they, you know, they one up me, and I was probably one of the last to jump on it. And you don't want it to be that way. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be the, you know, that much nicer than the next person on the track if you have the luxury of going second.
Well, when you said you had the confidence and the delivery, then that's going to probably any other thing that's going to take care of that, because you got that confidence. So that's a big plus, is having that confidence and that delivery. So yeah. what if you was to say, check out this song, and this going to be the one with some of your better songs? Give me a couple of them that we could check out. Like what's okay. Some of your better songs? Like people go, oh shit, you killed that shit.
I make a lot of group music, so unfortunately I don't have a lot of, and this is something I'm working on. I'm making a second solo project that will have more just me on the track. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it's fine if you featured on something.
Multiple tracks. There's a track called Vision is Switching. Vision is Switching is off of our compilation, Echoes of Oratory Music's The Crew, and it's called A Community of Thinkers. So this compilation, A Community of Thinkers, there's a track by my crew, Stereotype, and the song's called Visions of Switching.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it. We wrote the track about what it's like to improvise, mm-hmm. and that rush and adrenaline you get. And we just kind of just went off on it, I would say.
Is it a freestyling really thing track. Or is it something you wrote?
No, we wrote it. But it had to do with improvisation. So that track off of A Community of Thinkers, Volume 2. And it's produced by Aludum. And Aludum is a dope producer from Bakersfield, young cat, young talent, and me and my crew Stereotype. I think we killed that track personally. Mm-hmm.
If you could have another two part question. If you could have a producer, a major industry producer, past or present, produce a track for you, who would you like to produce a track for you?
You know, if it had to be like a major industry cat, I mean, any of the greats, really. Oh, man. You know, everyone always says it, but it'd be dope to get a Primo beat. You know, if someone gave you a Primo beat, that'd be like, you know that you're getting cemented, and not that many people get fucking Primo beats. So if I were to get a Primo beat, that'd be amazing. If it was a West Coast, producer, probably just, you know, Muggs or Alchemist, you know, those two cats.
Alchemist, I think that would be dope. Notch. I like to hear you and Alchemist. Okay, how about an artist, a commercial artist, past or present, you know, one of the artists from the past or present?
Commercial artist? Damn. If it was hip-hop, oh, man, I don't know. probably some of West Coast, so I don't know, I would probably say, dang, I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. Someone commercial. It's hard to think. Someone who's an arm's length by, you know, someone like Kendrick Lamar, like someone out here, right? I mean, it'd be amazing to do something like that. Even Anderson .Paak, like those cats are from Oxnard. Like, mm-hmm. it'd be great to work with any commercial cat that's from SoCal and just, mm-hmm. you know, see how you compare to a professional studio musician, studio artist. That'd be great, man.
So what you jamming nowadays? What are you jamming at? Some new stuff? Any new artists you're listening to? If so, who you listening to?
Yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of people, that whole Griselda crew is just kind of bugging, hearing a lot of their stuff. Mm-hmm. Conway the Machine is insane. Even some of the other cats that they do tracks with are kind of more and more, like, their genre is kind of opening up to me. So the God Fahim. He's pretty crazy. He's pretty dope. Mm-hmm. He just did an album with Muggs. I've been bumping his stuff. There's this Latino cat named Crime Apple. He's killing it. I think he's from like the East Coast somewhere. Mm-hmm. Colombian cat. mainstream, you know, I don't know, man. Just whatever's kind of coming out, that's dope. Like I said, even that Anderson .Paak, the way he's blowing up, like I'm starting to get more and more into his music. It's, you know, he's an amazing musician. Yeah, I would say those are probably some of the newer tracks or newer artists I've been hearing. And yeah, really, you know, Spotify and these streaming services kind of spoil us because we jump album to album to album to album. You know, you want to hear what the newest thing is. So a lot of the old music I still listen to, those artists are still making music, which is, you know, amazing. But as far as hip hop goes, those are some of the artists I think are kind of blowing it up right now and just doing crazy shit.
So what's your fan base looking like, and how do you communicate with them through a specific social media? Do you got a website? How do you communicate with your fans, and what's your fan base like? Is it something you're building on? Is it growing? And what's popping with your fans?
Yeah, I mean, as far as our listeners and our fans, when it comes to our crew, Echoes of Oratory, there's some solid loyal folks. Friends and family, but also just listeners, underground listeners. So we do a lot of stuff on Twitter. Luckily, with the COVID era, I think everyone's been a little bit more literate to, you know, technology. So seeing guys, and we did the homie did an album release party on Twitch, and that was really cool. We all jumped on Zoom, and he streamed on Twitch. It was a DJ, DJ No Easy, and his Twitch channel. So to find our music, you can just Google EOOMUZIK, EOOMUSIC .com or EOOMUSIC Bandcamp. And EOOMUSIC Bandcamp will put you to the music itself. But we also have YouTube channel. EOOMUSIC has a YouTube channel where we drop videos and anything that we have as far as content. And you can find me on Instagram, and my fans are really kind of, and my listeners, Instagram is pretty big. I've been able to sell a lot of records, or just, you know, my inventory, at least trying to get it to people, since right now it's not hand to hand. Otherwise it'd be dope to just go to a show and be on deck with CDs, tapes and wax. You know, I always loved the old hand to hand way of getting rid of your music. So check me out. MASUNO 909, MASUNO 909 is my social media. And like I said, Twitter, Instagram, and just like I said, hopefully we'll have some more live music coming to you on Twitch through our crew, Echoes of Oratory. I know we were supposed to be recording something by the end of this month, some live tracks, and hopefully stream them live or have them ready to watch live on YouTube or Twitch. And like I said, you know, the crew is supportive. You know, shout out to everyone from Echoes of Oratory Music. You know, we're all kind of pushing each other to put out good music and keep it moving.
Are you familiar with Bosco and Gonzo?
Bosco and Gonzo. Don't know if I am. No,
yeah, they're rappers. They're over 30, and okay. But they're supposed to be boxing on April.
Yeah,
Bosco and Gonzo. Y'all cut me a check too. I've been promoting y'all a boxing match. They're coming together to get in that ring and boxing. That's dope. I think that's dope as opposed to going out here killing each other. And that came to my mind because your demeanor reminds me of one of my favorite boxers, which is Oscar De La Hoya. So your whole demeanor, maybe even your tone of how you speak. What you know anything about Oscar?
Yeah, man. La Hoya, he crushed a lot of Mexican kids' dreams, man. When he took out Chavez. And really kind of like, you know, ushered in that new generation of Mexican boxing. So, yeah, man, I think a lot of Mexican Americans and just Latinos in general, we love our boxing. And De La Hoya was one of those, you know, the Golden Boy was one of those guys who just so clean cut, man. He was like Mayweather, but Mexican. And obviously they're probably around the same age. But like seeing him just kind of be that pretty boy slash like discipline. Almost like I don't want to call him a clone, but the man was like, you know, bred to box. And so thank you, man. That's kind of a compliment there.
Well, he's coming back. He got a comeback fight. I just saw it. Really? I didn't click the link, but he has a comeback fight. I guess Tyson for? Roy Jones. I guess that motivated him to say, hey, let me come back. Give me a couple of million too.
Who's calling him out?
I don't know who he's gonna fight, but I just saw the other day where he has a fight coming out, and that can kind of lead us in our next topic. Even though you're a lot younger than us, what you doing for your health, brother? You working out? You trying to eat right or what?
I try to eat right. I mean, obviously, father too. I want to remain, you know, on this plane and see my young ones grow. So I'm a skateboarder, man. I love skateboarding. That's my mode of heart rate going. And you know, it's a lot of a lot of cardio, a lot of leg work, some core work. And yeah, man, I take my little one. She's 7 years old, and there's just a new skate park right here in Almonte, and then also in La Puebla. And these two skate parks are crispy, brand new. I would say some of the nicest parks in Southern California right now. And they just made them down the street. I have Rosemead Skate Park too. So anytime I can take my little one out there and just, you know, break a sweat, summertime's coming. We were doing a lot of that during the COVID era or during the COVID time when the lockdown was happening. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I would love to learn more, man. I mean, I do stretches. I had a back injury pretty young, so I had to learn to kind of stretch my core. We have, you know, foam rollers. Anything I can do to kind of just work out these muscles while I'm decompressing, and, you know, so I don't cramp up, and you know, trying to eat a lot better. My wife is definitely someone who's health conscious, and she's been trying to help our family eat better. Mm-hmm. Other than that, man, I mean, I got my vices, you know. I sip alcohol. I eat pork sometimes. I shouldn't. But other than that, man, I think skateboarding is probably my biggest cardio right now.
Well, that's good, you know, because, you know, we all backslide, but we just want to try to communicate, because my whole purpose for starting this was not that I had the answers for everything, but through a collective of communicating with each other, we could figure some things out, you know. So the things we generally talk about is you obviously don't probably live in the Black community, but Killing Willie Lynch Syndrome in the Black community, diet, you know, your diet, health, and exercise, and the business, the music business. How's the business been treating you? You know, because if you're in this game, like I read something before, it said, if you take all that time to keep doing these songs year after year and everything, take one or two nights to take care of the legal part of it. And like Miss Toy told me, Miss Toy, I don't know if you heard that podcast, you make money in your sleep. You know, take care of your copyright, your publishing, your sound exchange. And, it, you know, maybe a couple of more on your BMI, your ASCAP, whatever that might be. And send in a few songs at a time, 5-10 songs. And, you know, you never know. You might be getting them checks in the mail as opposed to not doing it. So what are you doing as far as the business end of this?
Yeah, no, true that, man. You know, you're spitting knowledge. The big homie Clockwise, you know, he's our kind of our engineer, and he's kind of the head of our crew. He's been putting up on game for as far as ASCAP and having, you know, ourselves at least associated with some sort of publishing groups. That way we could actually get, you know, anytime someone streams our stuff or anytime our stuff's embedded somewhere. I have not made moves to register myself that way. We have a DistroKid, and that's about it, to have everything on major streaming, and then, you know, obviously get the numbers that way. But no, I have not, as of this time, take a move. So I think you're right. Getting your business right, also, you know, it's good for your health, I'm sure. You know, having that, knowing in the back of your mind, I'm not doing this in vain. It's not going to be taken advantage of, or someone, you know, copying and jacking my shit. you get some intellectual rights and publishing rights. So nah, man, I've heard a couple of good homies who lent out their hand to say, hey, do you want to meet this publicist? You know, or do you want to meet this, you know, this person who could help you promote your stuff. And I followed up with a couple of these leads, and unfortunately came through with what they're talking about. And I wish I would have followed up more, because you hear about it and, you know, some artists do it and it pays off, man, for sure.
So what does the future hold for you? What you got? What's upcoming? What you got? What you working on? What's coming in the future?
Yeah, definitely more music. I love dropping physical music. So we just released 200 tapes just this last October with Council of Nine. We did 100 green tapes and 100 yellow tapes. And I want to do another physical drop. I know the other homies going to release some more tapes. We have called SGV, SG and Czars. I believe that's the name of the crew right now. It might change, but... yeah, we're making more music. Stereotype 2 is coming. So everyone, you know, be ready for that. Stereotype, my the Franks and Brainstorm. We're doing the post-editing right now. I'm going to have the homie DJ Roach lay some cuts very soon. I'll be sending him the references, and hopefully we'll have, you know, two new projects to provide for folks probably by the end of this year, and hope to press some more tapes and maybe some more wax. You know, we love pressing vinyl. We've done it for one major project, we want to do it again.
Okay. What for the people who are listening to the podcast and they say, hey, I want to see what this guy look like, what music videos do you got that they can go and look at and check you out?
Yeah, check out Echoes of Oratory YouTube. That's Echoes of Oratory, you know, spelled as it says. And we have videos for this last, just heard Future Primitive off of Rhyme Apes, the project Rhyme Apes. That one just dropped. And then we have another one off that same project called Ailment. And Ailment is A-I-L-M-E-N-T, named after the physical ailment in people, and also off the homie Wordman, who you actually interviewed. His alias is Ailment. And so we have that track, some visuals for that, and many more on there. So yeah, if you want to check out some of the visual presentation, we have a good amount of videos from the crew, and it's on our YouTube.
Yeah, shout out to Word, man. That was a dope interview, and he has a very unique style and unique music. And what's your affiliation with him? How'd you guys meet? And sure. How long you guys go back?
Yeah, big ups to Word, man. Crop Circle 720 is his crew. Crop Circles is a crew out of La Puente that's been around since, you know, I was a teenager. And so I actually heard his music and his crew's music when I was a teenager. I was like 15, 16, bumping their first album. We eventually crossed paths and exchanged music, or at least exchanged a little bit of a culture, really, you know, whether it be music and or just, you know, vibing out. And then we eventually made tracks together, his crew, and Clockwise, the other MC and engineer of his crew, reached out to us and dropped our first album on his label. And that was Instincts of Organisms by Stereotype, the group I keep mentioning. And that's how I met Wordman. And he's a funny character. The man's a beast on the mic. He's a great writer. And homeboy's just getting better. So, mm-hmm. You know, shout out to Rappers Over 30 podcast for shedding some light on the OG. He's definitely the big homie. And, you know, the interview was dope. I remember you guys were bugging on his artwork, you know, for his album artwork.
Oh, yeah, his music. I was like, when I first put it on, it's a couple of things I just don't play with or deal with. Once he explained it, we was good.
He's fun. That's how he is. It's a satire almost. Mm-hmm. He makes fun of it, you know, and I think it's more like, you know, how our crew is always trying to break out of like the norm. You know, our crew just tries to be a little bit more critical. And, you know, we try to come a little more original if we can. And if it's you want people not to be able to figure out just looking at your album art. You want people to open that up, listen, and hear, you know, every aspect that we're trying to present. So, you know, big ups to the Word Man, Crop Circle 720. That's the big homie right there.
Have you guys ever done, you personally or you and any of your crews, have y'all ever done like a conceptual project? And if so, what was it? Or do you plan on doing any conceptual projects?
Council of Nine project, that's probably the last concept album we did. And like I said, the whole thing was the premise was that we were literal deities coming to Earth and just kind of testing, battling all the world's best MCs and just kind of conquering Earth. And we ran with it. You know, we made shirts, we made promo on it. We're gonna hopefully drop a video on that. And then just, you know, the artwork done by Try One. Try is a visual artist and the homie. And we did everything. We did a little, you know, little campaign for that, you know, made slaps, got them up all over the street. We wanted people to be like, what is this? And it was really kind of this, you know, just kind of this the side crew, this concept project called Council of Nine. And that's probably the last big concept album, you know, we did together.
Okay. Now, how many years have you been rapping again? How many years, if you can give me an estimate?
Man, I would say my first rhymes were probably when I was around probably 12 or 13. So, I mean, it's been maybe like only like probably 22 years. Yeah, 22 years.
So let me ask you this. In them 22 years, from as far back as you can remember, what was the support like from your family and friends? And then what is that support like? How has that changed over the years? So when you first start rapping, what did your parents say? What did your brothers and sisters? What did your friend? And then along the years, if you can remember, how did that work? And how is it now?
Yeah, I think that I was probably just wasn't upfront with it as much as like my other music at the time, because I was doing, you know, like I said, my band, Band Geek stuff. And I think my mom probably just thought it was another hobby. But she would always hear me and my buddies, obviously me and the homies. You know, I love to beatbox too, so I would beatbox a lot. And you know, she just knew it was part of my music game and part of my music, you know, upbringing. So she didn't think much about it. As I got older, obviously I had balance in my life, and she's like, "Dang, you know, just like skateboarding." She thought I was gonna put the skateboard down, but obviously it's with me for life. So I got my skateboard in one hand, I got my mic in the other hand. And over the years, I think she realized I really have a passion for organizing, creating, and eventually, you know, delivering, you know, projects and pieces and art and music. So I love that stuff. So I think they know I'm a busybody when it comes to that. And my wife and my family are supportive still. And it's a trip, right? You have like an older uncle or older aunt. You didn't think they're paying attention on social media. You know, maybe they're friends with you on Facebook or something. And then they're like, "Oh, how's the rapping going? How's the music going?" You're like, "Oh, I forgot that you knew." And so, but I love it. I love it that my, you know, my wife knows that when I'm in the studio, I'm taking care of business. I'm not just out partying. I'm not just out, you know, fooling around. I'm serious about, you know, investing my time, my resources. And when it comes to, you know, learning audio recording or just making projects, it's like going to class. It's like going to therapy. It's like all that it combined as one. So it's a balance now. I got my kids, I got my work, and I got, you know, and I got my music, and, you know, I know work and music could eventually become one and fully sustain a little more, but right now it's a balance that I love to have, just kind of my career and then also my music and my family.
Is your music rated G or PG or R or X? What is your music rated?
I think it's critical spit as far as me. So I mean, I curse, but I mean, I've only used bitch one time in probably all my tracks, and I was in college and I sounded like a fool when I said it. So really dropped too many of those negative words. But you know, I will call an MC a bitch if I have to, but it's not something that I'll highlight. I would say that spy is a PG-13 that I get, and you know, I'll throw some curse words, but no, it's not.
Well, you must got some skills too. Not only do your remind me of Oscar, you must got some skills like Oscar.
Yeah, you know, and these last couple of tracks, actually, we've been a little bit on the edgy side when it comes to you know, a little bit degrading on the you know, the braggadocious side. You know, we've been calling out MCs a little bit harder these days.
You calling them out by name?
Nah, not yet.
All right.
Not me personally. Maybe some of the people on the track, but yeah, okay. And yeah, I would say that, you know, I keep it above that conscious level, and at least if you're listening. Hopefully you're taking something out of it. It's not just, you know, rhyming for the sake of rhyming.
So from, let's talk about this now. I got grandkids. My grandkids probably the age of your kids. But as far as your subject matter changing and your language and everything, once you had kids when they was maybe old enough to understand what you were saying, how did that affect your writing?
It's a good question. I've had homies too, and I know you're asking about me, but a lot of my homies have kids, obviously. A lot of, I'm sure your acquaintances and folks you've worked with have family too. So even in all of us as a crew, once we've had kids, because we were actually a crew before we had kids and after, so we got to see each other's growth. I think we're more conscious of having some, you know, some positive content in some of these tracks, at least focus on works you want to leave for your kids to hear, your grandkids to hear. So I haven't made a track yet specifically about my kids, but I know my daughter knows all my homies have, and she's just waiting for me to write a song about her. You know,
how old is your daughter, if you don't mind me asking?
She's seven.
Okay.
Yeah, she's always telling me, put on that Clockwise track, you know, because my homie's got a track about his daughter, and it's a dope track. So we keep it positive. Obviously, a lot of some of it is political, but I wouldn't go as far as say it's all political. But I think once I had kids, it became more about like my growth, my self-growth, you know, defeating my demons, getting past something. I do have some tracks where I'm kind of calling myself out, calling the ego out, like you said, and just talking, you know, I don't know, but like, you know, you're not going to. And I've seen myself doing that more after I had kids, kind of just, you know, calling myself out. And I think it's important to have that reflection, but, you know, but to actually have, you know, to actually move on it is the next step. So yeah, I have some tracks where I'd probably, you know, felt like
okay, this I'm going to step outside the box. If you had an all expense paid vacation anywhere in the world, where would you like to go and spend 1 month at and why?
Damn.
All my expense paid.
You know, I'd probably go to Barcelona, Spain. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. Not just because it's Europe and because it's all, you know, it's beautiful, but I'm a skateboarder, like I said. So I know they have good food. I know it's an easier, it's a different standard of life. And spending a month there would be amazing. I would love to take a siesta. I would love to drink some, you know, some real wine.
What's a siesta?
A siesta is like a nap. In Europe, they have naps. So, you know, part of the day, people actually will close shop, close their doors, close their business, and they'll go home and nap.
So they do that. They do that instead of lunch. They call it a siesta.
Yeah.
Or they do that, and they also take a lunch.
Yeah, in parts of Europe they do it, and it's I mean, that's a different pace of life. Imagine if everyone in America, or at least in LA, would stop and take a nap. You know, they do that shit in Barcelona and in parts of Europe, and it's amazing to think that, you know, as Americans we couldn't grasp that. So probably go to Barcelona because that beautiful architecture too. I'm a skateboarder, like I said, and it's kind of like a big skate park. That whole country and that whole area of the world is, you know, everything's marble, everything's beautiful architecture, museums up the ass, and it'd be dope just to be there, eat good food, smoke some hash, because I'm sure there's amazing hash out there, and just, you know, just live life with my kids and my family, and, you know, I skateboard a little bit, maybe check out the hip-hop scene.
Okay, and if you wasn't a rapper, and don't put skating in it either, because I think you might want to throw that in there. But if you wasn't a rapper, what else would you think you would be passionate about, and what else would you be pursuing and doing?
Okay. That's a good damn question.
This the Rappers Over 30 podcast. What you expect?
I know. If I wasn't doing that, who knows, man?
Wow.
It could be anything. I mean, I really love... So I'd probably be a professor, or maybe be, or, you know, in education, you know, I probably,
what would you be teaching?
Maybe Chicano studies, maybe like an alternate history, or like ethnic history or studies.
Give me a class right now. Tell me, give me some information about somebody in the ethnic Chicano studies that you don't think I know about. So give me a quick lesson and get a rap. Right. Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, you're gonna have to send your tuition in for this one. we got a great one right here. Okay, yeah, we're gonna get a lesson on Chicano studies.
I would say probably the whole background and critical history and alternate history of LA, and seeing how, you know, just people of color were affected by just so many different things in LA. I mean, even the freeway structure, the environmental racism that's been there, the creation of the 5 freeway and the 10 interchange and 60 interchange right there over, you know, over East LA and Boyle Heights, that affected our communities, South LA, you know, all the cancer rates. And, you know, there was, that stuff was all pushed for, you know, and people were displaced in their home, you know, through eminent domain. These freeways were forced upon these people. And we think that these hoods and these groups of people always have been there. Well, they've been pushed white flight, you know, white folk, East LA and South LA, and eventually became these ethnic enclaves. And to the point where it became to the point where there was things called redlining, right? Redlining, where you can only have certain areas where folks can live. You know, there's literal, like, racist, sorry to get critical in that sense, but Chicano history teaches you that these areas became exclusively black and brown. And we don't know that, but, you know, this was a practice that and redlining was a real thing. It became illegal, eventually became cracked down on, but for many, many generations, that was already there. And then, you know, you just have the history of all these programs that existed through brown hoods. You know, we have these acculturation and assimilation programs where they would actually try to teach, you know, Mexican mothers how to be more American, try to, like, brainwash them out of being, you know, proud of being Latino and having these cultural backgrounds, because they wanted them to be more American. And these Americanization programs existed. And you know, some of our great grandmothers and grandmothers may have been a part of it because they're like, oh, you know, I'm going to take the free class down at the Civic Center because I want to learn how to be more American or even be affected that way where, you know, these critical histories, you know, they existed for a reason. And just all these beautiful people that came out of these backgrounds, because there's doctors and lawyers and historians that came out of, you know, where we're from, and they did amazing things to shed light on that injustice, right? You have a lot of lawyers that came out of these areas who created like critical race theory and have like these practices of law, who became the first the first cases in law that actually delve into you know, having race being a factor in deciding a just ruling. You know, you have the Brown versus Board of Education. Before that, there was a case in Orange County where some of the first schools in Orange County that wanted to desegregate. They were white and Latino schools, and these Latino kids wanted to go to school with these white kids. And so these were like precursors to Brown versus Board of Education, and these beautiful histories that you hear and years who did it. So for those of you who want to seek higher education, it doesn't have to be at a 4-year. You can learn online too. But that would be what I would love to keep learning about, learning these histories online. These beautiful examples of people like, you know, stepping up.
Well, it sounds like you, brother. So you do have some type of education in college, some type of college education. I think you said that when we started.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what is that? Did you do a couple of years, 4 years? What you do?
Yeah, I got my bachelor's. I got my bachelor's and my BA.
And then how many years is that?
Luckily, I was able to go to UCLA.
So you went to UCLA?
Did 4 years out of high school.
That was
my alma mater. And I didn't know I was going to go to a university. And it's not for everyone, obviously, but anyone who can get pipeline in there, let's get more people of color into these schools, because they leave their mark, you know, they leave their studies there for the next kid to go, get there and learn about it too.
And you had mentioned about, I guess, the proximity of people living to them freeways and the cancer rates. You had mentioned something about the cancer rate, and I'm thinking you was associating that with the proximity of living in the freeways. Can you give me a little bit more information on that?
Yeah. There's been a lot of cities who've actually exist, and it's called, you know, the general term is like environmental racism, and there's one example of another city in LA that's pretty big. It's called Lenox. It's near the airport. And they've actually, their families have filed lawsuits against, you know, LAX and the 105 or the interchange there. And the city of Lenox has some of the highest cancer rates in all of LA.
Yeah, them planes right taking off and landing all day over there.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And that shit's real, you know. And you always think about it when I'm looking, like driving around, I'm like, man, I would love to live in the city, but hey, what's near here? Is there a freeway near here? Is there is there a airport? Is there a lead factory? You know, there's been like crazy industrial factories in LA too that, you know, once they close down, they don't dispose of the waste right, and then now you have lead in the dirt. You know, now you have higher rates of cancer there.
What's your community built on? A lot of people probably don't look, like you said, you should look into these things when you about to move. Like he's saying, it's, you know, what I've heard about communities being built on landfills, you know. So what is your community built on? Is it by a freeway? Rappers Over 30 podcast listeners, you are getting educated today. We have Moss One on here, and my man is giving us some good information on his music videos. Be sure to check him out, and we're gonna continue this. If you're just logging on, I said the brother remind me of Oscar De La Hoya, his demeanor and maybe his voice. And if some of you punk MCs want to mess with him, he might got a couple of them skills too.
Yeah, word. No, man, it's a pleasure, man. Rappers Over 30, you know, this podcast is dope. I think just the more folks you listen to, and the more that you kind of build your episodes on, and having like your archives is anything else, man, is knowledge, right? So I look forward to see who else you have on this podcast, because you know, I'm just barely starting to kind of listen to more podcasts that have these older heads, or just, you know, these long lasting artists, and it's just so dope to hear their background, and you know, you learn a lot.
You know, one thing we really didn't have, we actually had one, but it didn't make the cut. One thing we didn't really have was somebody get on here and rap. You want to bust a rhyme for us?
If you want me to, yeah, I'll bust one.
Okay.
What am I doing? Yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got Maz One. He gonna bust one. It's the first time that's gonna air for us. Rappers Over 30, y'all. Turn everything down, stop everything, and listen up. Here we go.
Check it. Any simple cell organism has about its lifespan. B-boy stance with the prehistoric carbon-dated mic in my hand can be traced to an immortal kin. What more can we live when you're living so profane? All it takes is just an utter rinse of our name, then recite it in trios or summon a pair of negative zeros, anti-minus, subtract, whack. And what you have is a matter of fact, some primates claiming to be a couple of rhyme greats, transmitting live from the cradle of civilization. Examination, biopsy, who get the autopsy? Let's see who gets top. Time stops for no man, except for those who master the art of ceremony. Not seeking a Tony, get a public stony for your transgressions, peasant, pleasantly deceased your creatures. Blast from the past, the future is now. Blast from the past, the future is now. Blast from the past, the future is now. To advance, to remain stagnant.
Yes, sir.
Big ups.
Yes, sir. Do you freestyle too? Do you also freestyle? I'm not gonna ask you to freestyle. I'm just asking.
I mean, you gotta have that at least, you know.
Be chilling with the fellas and everybody just get the bus.
Yeah, in your bag if you're gonna hang out with some rippers, yeah, you best.
Is that an LA freestyle or East Coast freestyle?
Not freestyle off the top, but again, you know, thanks for letting me spit. You know, I just threw out something from our rhyme apes catalog, but yeah, that's something everyone should come correct. You should always be able to drop.
Let me spit one for you. I'm a bust one.
Get it.
All right. Hopefully I can remember because I've been doing so many things. I've been doing my rhyming, but I go dominant. I'm so prominent. Heard y'all bars. Y'all don't sound prominent. Mumbling, fumbling, hip hop crumbling. Your IQ too. Ooh, I'm wondering. Animals, panda bears, swinging from chandeliers. Cloning ape, seedless grape, GMOs, 2-inch tape. Speaker cold. Kenny Critton, Sean a cold. Jeezy Freezy too for true, but I am the abominable. Snowman, I know man. I'm older than Rodan. A rap emphasaurus with a thesaurus in his claw, man. I'm raw man like sugarfish. You can't predict my lines. Chew you like you sugarless since you bubblegum rhyme. I gotta pop that bubble like she popped that coochie and I still no killer. That'll pop that Uzi. Pop in your house. Pop in your mouth. And what's the odds that this shit is gonna pop in the South?
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Yeah.
So y'all got the first time some rhymes was done on here. And brother, look, I'm you got any in closing words? We're gonna wrap it up on that note. And I really appreciate you. I'm glad I got to meet you. I'm glad you were patient. Because you know you reached out to me.
No worries.
And I love the interview I did with you, Word Man, and a couple other guys. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is I don't know you. I didn't know you. You didn't know me. But we got on here and did a good thing. So you know.
Yeah, man. No, yeah. Thanks for having me again. Rappers Over 30 podcast. Appreciate it. Moss One, Echoes of Oratory Music. Like I said, if you want to check out my music, check me out on social media. Moss Uno 909. That's MAS. UNO 909, and they just, you know, Google the crew, Echoes of Oratory Music, M-U-Z-I-K, and big shout outs to all the crews and all the homies. Keep an eye out. We got some more goods coming your way.
Okay, and what's the best way somebody can reach you directly? If they want to reach you, they might want to feature, or they might just want to tell you how dope you is, or whatever it may be. What's the best way for someone to reach you directly?
Just check me out on social media, Instagram probably, and again, MASUNO 909. You want to hit me on my email, scarlin05, that's fine, scarlin05@gmail.com. But again, you know, you'll find MASUNO 909 on Twitter, Instagram, all that.
Okay, well, brother, I appreciate you. And one thing we're looking forward to doing in the future is having Rappers Over 30 concerts. I'm going to try to do it online, and definitely when this thing is over, I will be reaching out to you for physical concerts. But in the meanwhile, I'm going to try to develop how can we do some online concerts. So get your stage show together, get your stuff together, because it's going to be a dope show. And I really appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, good looking out, G. Appreciate you.
You got my contact. Hit me up if you need anything, bro.
All right. Appreciate you.
Take care. Peace.
Yeah, that concludes another episode of the Rappers Over 30 podcast. Go to the show notes for more information and links on Moss One and today's episode. I wish you all the best of health, happiness, and success. See you next week. I tell students that opportunities I had were a result of having a good educational background. Education is what allows you to stand out. Ellen Ochoa.